Yeah, I was thinking back and remembering my first experience working with kids in my church. My wife and I were newly married, and before we got married, she was already serving in a children's ministry in our church called Noah's Ark. That was the name of it. It was a ministry designed to minister to preschool-aged children during our evening worship service. So we have two worship services in our church, one in the morning and one in the evening, and they're different ones, so we could devote the entire day to worshiping the Lord. And so we would have a time. I was starting to serve there in this Noah's Ark ministry, and we would have a time where we would give a quick Bible lesson to the kids. But I was intimidated to do this because I wasn't sure how to teach the word to these young minds. They were so active, they didn't always seem to pay attention, and I wasn't sure if I would be understood. I wasn't intimidated because I didn't know how to teach. I was serving in our youth ministry. I was already using and growing in being able to teach God's word there, but I just felt intimidated. Like, teaching children was something entirely different altogether. And so during that time, during those early years of our marriage, I actually enjoyed watching my wife as she would teach these kids, as she worked with children. She just had a way of talking with them and bringing the lesson down to their level, getting their attention, and keeping their attention. I was extremely impressed, and from that point on, I was glad to pay attention whenever somebody in our church was teaching the word to children, someone who was skilled at it, because even though I may not learn anything new in terms of content, because, you know, they're bringing simple gospel truths to these kids, I wanted to learn how they connected with the children, how they were able to communicate very difficult truths to these young minds. And so that's why we want to just have a very quick lesson right now on teaching children. It's an important skill that you need to develop if you're serving in children's ministry, especially when you consider that this ministry is primarily about bringing the gospel into these kids' lives. You should work hard and develop your ability to skillfully teach kids. Good Bible teaching isn't just about knowing Greek, Hebrew, all sorts of grammar. You know, can you communicate the truth in such a way that is appropriate for your audience so that they understand what you're talking about? They haven't been lost and they know what to do about your message. That's what makes more messages better than others and makes and breaks so much Christian teaching today. It's not whether they're referencing the Hebrew and the Greek, but is your audience getting you? Do they understand what you're even talking about? And do they know what to do about your lesson? Notice here in this 1 Corinthians 14. Could someone read verses 9 through 12 here in 1 Corinthians 14?
With yourself, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church.
Now, in this chapter of Scripture, this chapter is famous for primarily because of tongues. But really, if you could boil it down, Paul was dealing with a specific problem in the Corinthian church. And it was that the fact that they really prized the gift of tongues. And if you've never studied that before, the gift of tongues is basically the ability to speak or pray, actually, to pray in another human language, okay? It's not this unknown gibberish. It's another human language, and you're able to pray in that language. But the reason why I'm taking us here, I mean, think about it for the Corinthian situation. They regarded this as like the rock star gift. If you had the gift of tongues, you were awesome. And everybody wanted to use the gift of tongues in their worship service. But this created a problem, because their worship services had become somewhat chaotic. Many people all wanted to speak all at the same time. People were even speaking in tongues without an interpreter, which meant that no one could understand what was being said because it wasn't being interpreted to them. And so notice what Paul is saying here. Verse 9. If you don't use speech that is clear, how will people know what is spoken? You'll just be speaking into the air, rather into people's minds and hearts. Verse 10, Paul says that there are many languages in the world, and they all exist for this purpose, to communicate meaning. Languages exist to communicate meaning. Verse 11, if you don't know the meaning of the language, then no one's going to benefit. He basically says there, I'll be like a barbarian to you, a foreigner to you, and you'll be like a foreigner to me. And we'll just all be confused. And that's why in verse 12, Paul says, seek to abound for the edification of the church. He's telling the Corinthians, don't just speak in tongues to show off your gift. Think about whether people are being edified. And the reason why I'm taking us to this passage is because Paul is warning against speaking in such a way that you can't be understood. And I don't want this to happen in your children's ministry. Speaking in a way where you're like a foreigner to these kids, because you're teaching in a way that they just can't understand. Edification, being understood, is one of our highest concerns as we teach children. And you may not be confusing the kids because you're speaking in tongues without an interpreter, but you might be confusing the kids by giving a message that is too complicated for them. Now, what are some ways we can confuse the kids in our teaching such that they're not being helped? Yeah, so big words that they don't understand.
Abstract ideas. Talk about abstract ideas.
Yeah, abstract ideas, for sure.
Ramble.
You ramble on. Yeah. Like you just speak, and you're losing them. Anything else? Yeah, that's not interesting. It's dry. Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, if it's just an unfamiliar concept, they're going to get lost super quick. And once they get lost, they stop paying attention. And so absolutely, there are so many ways that we can lose the kids in our teaching. And it's not just a problem for children's ministry. Unedifying sermons are preached very frequently by pastors and worship services. And what's the point of preaching so much amazing information if no one is going to benefit, if no one could even understand what you're talking about? And so I would challenge all of you to grow in your ability to communicate God's word to children. Seek to abound, as Paul says, for the edification of the church, for the edification of these children. And so what are some practical suggestions for us to do that? For one thing, I would encourage you to focus your teaching so that you only have one main point. Okay? I think that's one of the most important things you could do when you're teaching kids. Don't try to accomplish too much. You don't want to have a three-point outline. You don't want to overwhelm the children with too many things at once. More is not always better. You have to understand who you're working with. Children are still developing their ability to think critically and to remember things. It's not uncommon for a young child to not remember something you told them 2 minutes ago. It's not uncommon for that to happen. And so I would encourage you to have this mindset. You have done enough in teaching children if they have learned one truth and they are motivated to put that one truth into practice. You have done your job as a teacher if they could do that. If they could take one simple truth and tell that to mommy and daddy when they get home. Hey, mom, this is what I learned in Sunday school. And by the way, if your kids come home from church service and the children's ministry and they say that, oh, mommy, I learned that Jesus walked on water today. You say, great. What else about that? Did you learn anything else? No. They may say that, but it's okay. At least they remembered the lesson that Jesus walked on water. Isn't that amazing in itself? That a 3-year-old or 4-year-old can say that Jesus walked on water, that there's a man out there who somehow walked on water. You know, and that they were able to remember that truth and bring it home to you. I mean, for 3- and 4-year-old kids, 5-year-olds, it's great if they could even remember that. And of course, you also want to help them to put it into practice. What does this mean for you? Well, to believe that Jesus is God, that he's pretty amazing. He's this amazing guy. He's God. And so, yeah, don't scorn your children's workers just because your kids only took one point home from their lesson. That's oftentimes what we're trying for them to do, just to be able to remember and take one thing home with them. And I know how difficult this can be if you're just starting out as a teacher, because, man, when you start studying the Word, when you get involved in teaching God's Word, what happens? You're like, man, this is amazing. And this is also amazing. And this is incredible. And I got to tell people all these different things that I've been learning. That's what happens when you first start studying God's Word. Everything just is popping to you. And it's like, I got to share all of this with everybody. You're going to be so excited. Everyone needs to know about this amazing truth. But you have to control this excitement because you're working with kids. You don't want to create a confusing message. One simple way you could do this is just limit the amount of scripture you're teaching. You don't have to teach a whole chapter. Teach a verse. Teach one part of a verse. Just focus. Focus yourself. And as you're studying that one verse, determine what the scripture is about and come up with a purpose statement. Like, I want, my purpose, for example, is that for this lesson, the lesson I'm teaching to you right now, I would say my purpose statement is so that you would become better teachers of children. Right? That's my purpose. I want to help you become better teachers of children. This is what I'm talking about. Having a purpose statement in mind for your message to encourage you to become better teachers of children. It helps to have that kind of purpose statement in mind. One focused idea of what you're trying to accomplish when you're teaching kids can help you to have a goal to pursue. What this message is about. And so try to summarize your message. That shouldn't have many different things you're trying to accomplish, but one main thing you're trying to accomplish as you teach the kids. Focus. So that the kids know what they ought to focus on. And so that's one suggestion I'll offer you. Secondly, have lots of interaction. Have lots of interaction. Your teaching in children's ministry will be very different from Stephen's sermons on Sunday morning. You're not preaching to the kids. Kids get distracted. They lose attention easily and quickly. And so it helps to have lots of interaction to keep their attention. What are some benefits of interaction as you're teaching God's Word? What are some reasons you want to have interaction? Yeah. Mm-hmm. To see that they're following you, right? What else? Yeah, helps them not be distracted, right? Because they always have to focus their attention on you so that they can interact with you. Anything else?
It makes them think for themselves.
Yeah, you're encouraging them to be thinkers. Exactly, to use their minds. And so there's many benefits to having an interactive message. To do this, you have to learn to ask questions, to be able to ask kids the questions. And don't be afraid to ask the kids a lot of questions. And of course, the younger they are, the simpler the questions need to be. With really young children, you're going to probably ask a lot of binary questions, right? Yes or no answer type questions. Very simple things like, who died on the cross? Jesus, you know? I mean, anyone can answer that. With really, really young children, right? And as the kids get older, you're going to start asking more analytical questions, open-ended questions. And you don't want to just have yes or no answers, or the answer is just Jesus, and it's so obvious. And you're, again, you're encouraging thinking. You want to challenge them. You want them to be understanding the implications of these passages you're studying. And so, learn how to manage interaction, learn how to answer questions, ask questions and answer questions, and encourage order. And so, if you ask a question, don't just have them blurt out the answer. Have them raise their hand so that they can, you know, you want the benefit of hearing the kids' answers. You don't want the situation like we just turned to in 1 Corinthians 14 where everyone's trying to speak at the same time and then no one's edified, right? And so that's why it's important when you have interaction, you're also encouraging order in that interaction. Number three, tell stories and illustrations. Everybody loves stories and illustrations. I'm sure there have been times where you've sat under a sermon and the main thing you remember about that sermon is a story the pastor told or an illustration he used. It wasn't even the passage of scripture. It was the illustration that the pastor used. You know, and that those things can sometimes affect us more than anything else. And I think that's one reason why we love our Bibles, because it's full of such wonderful illustrations. And that's how I think our kids can understand the scriptures so well, because it's full of so many wonderful pictures. What do illustrations accomplish? Why do we want to teach using illustrations?
Easy to remember.
Easy to remember. Memorability, exactly. What else? Yeah, so it adds interest, for sure.
Better understanding.
Yeah, to encourage understanding, right? Illustrations have a way of simplifying certain truths. Yeah, you can make it practical through an illustration. It can help explain difficult concepts. Can motivate using an illustration. Can demonstrate how a truth is applied, and so forth. You know, I think the main reason why many pastors, preachers, teachers today don't use illustrations is because it's hard work. It really is. To think of a way to illustrate a certain concept is hard work. It's time consuming. It's easier if I just tell you what the Bible says rather than illustrating it, because that adds a whole nother layer to my teaching. And maybe you've struggled with this. If you're a teacher of God's Word, maybe you don't feel like you're very creative, you're very relatable, you don't feel like a good storyteller. But don't let that cause you to give up. First of all, just understand it is hard work. Just because it doesn't come easy to you doesn't mean it comes easy to me or anyone else. It is hard work. It's difficult to tell illustrations. But we apply great diligence in the way we teach God's Word to present ourselves as workmen who do not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the Word of Truth. That's 2 Timothy 2:15, by the way. And Paul commends those who work hard at preaching and teaching. And so just because illustrations don't come easy to you doesn't mean that you should just give up. You know, I've been teaching the Word for many years, and I still find it difficult to come up with good stories and illustrations. It's not uncommon where I'll be sitting at a desk or wherever I am for over an hour just trying to think of a good way to introduce my sermon or illustrate this certain concept because I think it's too difficult and I want people to help people to understand what's going on. I'll spend a lot of time on those things. And so it's challenging, I agree. It, in some sense, it has gotten easier over the years, but it's still a challenge that's worth the effort. And so during your message prep, don't be afraid to take some time to sit there and think, to actually meditate and try to figure out a good way to make this story relatable for the kids. Just as an example, a little bit before I left, we had this meeting in the children's ministry. So our children's ministry director gets up. It was a parent equipping night. I think that's what it was called. Orientation, that's what it was. Parent orientation day. So all the parents came. The kids were there in the room too. We just wanted to encourage the parents to understand why the children's ministry exists. And so our children's ministry director is up there. He's giving this lesson. And he's talking about Psalm 119, 105, right? Where it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." You know that verse in Psalm 119? And so what he does, you know, he's asking the kids, like, do you know why we need God's wisdom? Do you know why we need God's word? And then he had the person in the back turn off all the lights in the room. It was pitch dark. All the lights were off. And he basically used that to say, you know what it's like to live life without God's word? And then the lights turn off. And he's saying, this is what it's like to live life without God's word. You're basically in the dark. You can't walk around. You can't find your way around. You might trip over someone and hurt them. That's why we need God's word. And I was like, ah, this is awesome. Our children's ministry director giving a great illustration of how to teach children. He just turned off the lights and showed what darkness is like. And these kids, they kind of snickered. You could hear them, even though it was pitch dark. But you could tell that they got it. It was great. It was just a memorable thing for me. A fantastic way to illustrate that truth. So I hope you could see the benefit of telling stories and illustration. Number four, be patient. If you're teaching in children's ministry, you shouldn't expect your kids to just be good listeners, especially immediately. Don't be sad if they don't remember what you talked about last week. Some of them, again, they may not remember what you talked about just an hour ago. They'll fidget, they'll squirm, and you're going to wonder if it's worth the effort. But I would encourage you to be faithful and patient. Keep encouraging those kids, keep teaching them the word, keep encouraging good listening habits in them. Be willing to remind them of the same truth over and over and over again, and patiently wait and see what God does. You know, that's one reason I think people quit children's ministry is because you don't see fruit very quickly. You don't see the results oftentimes. In fact, a lot of our kids that get saved, they get saved after they already get out of the children's ministry when they're in the youth age, like junior high and high school. That's when, and I was talking to one of the sisters earlier that, like, one great question is, how do you discern if your child is really saved? And I was telling the sister that oftentimes you don't really know if they're saved until their faith is tested. You know, right now, you're making all the decisions for these kids. But once they have to make decisions on their own, like they're in a situation of peer pressure, or they're hanging out with friends at school or whatever it might be, and now they have to make a decision, am I going to follow Christ Am I going to follow your faith, or am I going to follow the lust of my flesh? And what patterns do you see established there? That's oftentimes the time when you know this kid is saved, or this kid probably isn't saved. And so, yeah, just you have to do children's ministry with great patience. You don't even necessarily know if this kid is saved yet. And that's why you're doing this watering and planting work over time with great patience and instruction, waiting for the time when God will either confirm or deny that and show them that they don't or do have faith in the Lord. And so don't grow weary. This is an important work. Be steadfast. Just like parenting, children's ministry is like the marathon. Planting seeds over time. You're preparing the soil, and you must be patient in it. Now, I do have other things on your list there. We won't really go into them, but in your teaching, use humor. Don't be afraid to make the kids laugh. It's good to make them laugh. It helps keep their attention. Apply the word to their lives. Remember that kids also shouldn't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And so help them apply the word. As Aaron mentioned, show them how they could apply this in obeying mommy and daddy. Give them practical suggestions for that. Use visuals. And again, remind them over and over of the same truth. Don't have the attitude that teaching kids is child's play. This is a skill that we need to continually develop and grow in. Look at 1 Timothy 4, verse 16. We'll just conclude with this. Someone read that. 1 Timothy 4, 16.
Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers.
Pay close attention to yourself. Watch yourself. Are you walking with the Lord? And to your teaching. Pay close attention to that too. Grow as a teacher. Guard what you're teaching. Persevere in these things. Don't grow weary. Right? And look at this amazing promise that Paul mentions here. As you do this, you'll ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Wouldn't that be great? But the kids who are hearing you bow the knee to Christ. And so that's why I'm exhorting you. Guard who you are. Guard your own heart as a teacher. And then grow yourself as a teacher. Grow in being able to communicate God's word. It's going to really help these kids know the gospel. And by God's grace, bow the knee to Christ one day. Let me pray and then we'll enter our Q&A time. Lord, thank you for just these quick words on trying to become better teachers of your word. Would you just help us now as we answer these last questions as we conclude our day. Thank you for those who have come. Just continue to encourage us now in Christ's name. Amen.